WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
An American psychopath played a major role in compiling the Oxford English Dictionary in the mid-19th century. His story is told in Simon Winchester's new book, The Professor and the Madman. The book has gotten a lot of favorable attention. It's reported that Mel Gibson has optioned the film rights. But our linguist Jeff Nunberg thinks that people may have missed some of the real significance of the story.
God loves language and forgives everyone who by it lives. Unfortunately, those lines of Auden were written a couple of decades too late to serve as an epitaph for William Chester Minor, one member of the Victorian odd couple whose story Simon Winchester tells in his new book, The Professor and the Madman. Minor was born to an old New England family and studied medicine at Yale. His psychological disintegration may have begun during the Civil War, when as a surgeon in the Union Army, he was required to brand the letter D onto the face of an Irish deserter. After the war, he began to show increasing signs of paranoia. And in 1871, when he was living in London, he shot and killed a working man whom he took for a member of the Fenians, an Irish militant group that he believed to be persecuting him. The court found him not guilty by reason of insanity and sent him to the asylum for the criminally insane at Broadmoor. It's at this point that the professor enters the story in the person of James Murray, the editor of the Oxford English Dictionary. Minor somehow saw an appeal that Murray had circulated asking for volunteer readers to comb over works of literature looking for citations that could be used to document the evolution of the English vocabulary. A sympathetic warden allowed Minor to acquire books, and he threw himself into the task with a vengeance, collecting and systematizing thousands of citation slips for the dictionary's files. Over the next 20 years, Minor continued to work on the dictionary, even as his paranoid delusions became more tortured and fanciful. He reported that there were little men living under the floorboards of his room who came out at night to spirit him away and make him perform vile sexual acts. After a long correspondence, Murray went to visit Minor at the asylum, and the two eventually became friends. Winchester gives us a nice picture of the madman and the professor walking slowly in step along the terrace of the asylum, looking remarkably similar, tall men with long white swallowtail beards, lost in conversation about English words. That picture's worth pausing over. Modern readers may find the pairing incongruous, but in fact it isn't odd that Minor would have found the collection of citations so absorbing a task. Most people are not very good at reading text looking for the interesting uses of words. Either they get caught up in the story or they start skimming, and either way they miss important material. But I can easily imagine Minor sitting there for hour after hour poring over books with schizoid attentiveness, waiting for the revealing citation to spring up at him like a leprechaun out of the floorboards. And for that matter, the dictionary project itself would have been congenial to the paranoid's proclivity for assuming that everything has a place in some vast logical system. We've gotten so accustomed to having the OED around that we may forget what a demented and delusional project it really was. Actual speech is a chaotic and unsettled business. As Samuel Johnson said, when you look at words, their meanings seem to shift around like branches blown about in a storm. To suppose that you can get it all down in a single book where every word is pigeonholed into an appropriate sense and assigned a neat definition, well, it isn't mad exactly, but it has something of the paranoid's refusal to acknowledge that the world is a messy place that doesn't always make sense. The compilers of the OED weren't psychopaths, of course, but they were a pretty loopy lot. There was Murray's predecessor, Frederick Furnival, for example, who mixed his lexicography with efforts to protect the virtue of young Cockney women by encouraging them to take up rowing. And Murray himself had more than a touch of obsessive monomania. You'd have to sit for 40 years in a damp iron shed in your garden, sorting through millions of slips of paper with the uses of words written on them. By the way, there's a wonderful portrait of Murray in a recently reissued biography written by his granddaughter called Caught in the Web of Words. That's the first thing I recommend whenever somebody asks me for a good book about language. In Murray's case, of course, the obsession led not to an asylum, but to a knighthood. But in their different ways, he and Minor were typical of their age. From Murray and Furnival to Disraeli and Gladstone to General Gordon and General Custer, you're always struck by how many of those eminent Victorians had a couple of oars out of the water. That's ultimately where Winchester's book gets its nostalgic charm, in evoking an age that found so much useful work for its madmen to do.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center. He reviewed The Professor and the Madman by Simon Winchester.